Welcome to Build, Lead, Thrive, Voices of Andras Goggin, a bi-monthly podcast that features in-depth conversations with the people shaping Andras Goggin County. Each episode dives into personal stories, showcasing the leaders and entrepreneurs behind the region's economic and community vitality. I'm your host, Shanna Cox, President and CEO of the LA Metro Chamber. I'm joined by local talent, longtime friend, and our producer, Mark Turcotte. Together, we explore how incredible people, the voices of Andras Goggin, build, lead, and thrive while contributing to a better quality of life for all. Welcome back to Build, Lead, Thrive, Voices of the Andras Goggin. I'm so excited for today's guest, and I gotta say, a little bit shook. So Mark, yes. our producer, him and I have been doing podcast adjacent work, I would call it. It felt like podcasts at the end of the day when it was posted, yeah. But live radio for a little bit there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going on 5 years now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which feels like an insanely long amount of time.
It does.
And like you've been just a part of my life for forever. Mark's really the brains behind this podcast. He's the guy that makes us sound good, gets us uploaded to the right places, can see when you're subscribing. Guys, subscribe if you love this podcast. If you moderately like this podcast, would still love you to subscribe. But so Mark and I have been doing this for a really long time. He now gets to do a daily podcast with today's guest, and you, media maven. I'm going to tell folks about that in a second.
Ooh, I like that.
So I'm booking Pam for this podcast saying, what will I learn? How will this make us better? Will your followers start to follow us? I don't know. This is a big experiment, but I could not be more excited for today.
Too.
So let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. Pam Ashby is joining us. She is a dedicated community advocate. Returning to her roots at Uncle Andy's Digest and LA Metro Magazine in 2022, which, if you can believe it, is already almost 3 years ago, bringing fresh energy and an inspiring vision for the future after a 3-year adventure in Dallas, Texas. Maybe there's more than one, but it's the... We'll talk about how big your hair got later. So she's back in Maine, reconnecting with the community that she holds dear. As the founder of Lydia Media, and if you get a chance to see the photo we posted with this podcast, you will see some part of Lydia in that photo today. One of my favorite mascots, and always a pleasure to have her in the building. So as the founder of Lydia Media, Pam's passionate about supporting local businesses, creating meaningful connections through print, digital platforms, and podcasting. She's expanding the reach of these beloved publications while shaping the future of local media. I would also say shaping the image of our region, but we're going to come back to that. LA Metro Magazine, I wanted folks to know, premium lifestyle publication that entertains, inspires, and informs its readers with original stories about local businesses and individuals. Enhanced by exceptional photography, the magazine highlights the arts, literature, charities, and all of the good happening in our community. Now, Uncle Andy's Digest, a humor-based advertising publication, has been a community staple since 1996, outdating me. I mean, it's like, it's just always been here since I moved here. Serving the greater Lewiston-Auburn area, its mission is to entertain its readers and provide top-notch exposure for advertisers, and boasts a robust social media presence, which I can certainly count on. By promoting businesses across platforms and fostering word-of-mouth buzz, Uncle Andy's is more than an ad service. It's an advertising partner committed to helping local businesses succeed. And one of the things I love about what you list on your Uncle Andy's website is, like, while you're filled with humor, you take your business seriously, which I've seen that. You're an incredible businesswoman. I wanted to throw in a fun fact as I was doing some of my background research today. We're joined by a 2018 Finest Under 40 Uplift LA honorees.
This barely is under 40.
I got a Finest Under 40, a different 40 Under 40 program nomination this year, and I literally didn't reply because I thought it was a joke, because I'm 44. And so, good on you for getting it in right under the wire.
Like
not waiting for the boat
to
pass.
1 month until I turn 40.
It counts. It counts. You've been making waves in this community and getting noticed for it for years. That was seven years ago. 7 years ago.
Seven sounds good.
What are you here for if not to help me with the math?
I'm not sure.
I find it 6 years, but I could be wrong.
Next month it's seven.
I know, but...
I mean, less than a month away, it's seven, right? For a really long time. And so some fun things: when you're not working, you might run.
Well,
running.
If you listen to our podcast,
okay, all right.
I've heard. I've tried to get back into that. Okay. But yes, I love running
For fun. Nothing's chasing you.
Well, it's a stress reliever. It's a good stress reliever.
Well, it says here you also enjoy golfing and enjoying live music, and I would just say yes to both of those. And you don't have to do a lot of work to get into those, just saying. And then you, of course, love all of your local favorite spots, yeah, right?
Of course.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, that's just a little bit. That's like the biographical background. But we really like to break the ice with a little segment. I have a little bit of a head cold today, so this is going to sound extra special. Mark.
Ready?
Yeah.
2, 3, 4.
Getting to know you.
Getting to know.
Hit the high note, Mark. Yeah. Our last episode, we learned the history of this little song.
Why is Pam leaving?
No, she's not awkward at all.
Do you want to join in? We can play it. Okay. Getting to know you is one of our favorite segments. Tell us a little bit about what we're going to do.
Getting to Know You is where we ask guests fun, personality-revealing questions to help listeners learn about and connect with our guest on a personal level. Before we get into the deeper questions, this is like an appetizer before the main course.
Oh, boy.
Nice. Just a little nibble there. Nice. Thanks. Constant improvement.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. It. Appreciate that.
Not as good as the singing, but pretty good.
I'm sure people subscribe, and then immediately I got the notification, our last, and I'm sure they're just like, zip through to the part where I can hear them sing. I'm sure that's the draw.
When they start singing, it's that 15-second jump.
Yes, yes.
I think that's more likely. It might hurt, but it feels really relatable. I would fast forward through me singing, too. You know what, guys? This is how you know that we're authentic, right? There's no flashy post-recording edits here. No professional jingles that we're going to braid in the background.
We are the real deal.
Yeah. I think that's our hallmark,
it's important.
I'm okay with it. So, Pam, what's a book, podcast, show, or movie that has inspired you recently?
It's a tough one because I actually do all those things to kind of unplug and stop thinking.
Mm.
So
no, that makes sense to me. That actually resonates to me. Okay, so what's the last time that you have had one of those that allowed you to fully escape then?
And one that I enjoyed.
We could make space for the one you hated if you'd like.
Well, so right now we're watching this unbelievably weird show on Netflix. It's Netflix called Unreal. Have you heard of that?
I have heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, so it's a show about reality shows. So they're pretending it's The Bachelor, but obviously they can't use The Bachelor.
Right, right.
You know, so, but everything's kind of the same. It's just things are a little different. The show is about how manipulative and staged and like
not real,
crazy,
unreal, you could maybe say.
Yeah,
aptly named.
Yeah, it's kind of like an even balance because my boyfriend really loves trashy, annoying reality TV, and that stresses me out.
Yes.
Like when people like argue and really get into it with each other, like I'm like, I can't.
The manufactured conflict that plays out with like secret alliances in the background.
Yeah, so
I like the voice for reality shows, and I don't know, it's probably hard pressed calling it a reality show.
But I will say my favorite outlet that I used to watch or have watched was Schitt's Creek. That was the best.
Gosh. That's an epic one. Yeah. Do you rewatch it? Is it like your comfort show?
No.
Like a good meal you go back to?
I started to, and then, I
can confess I'm on my fifth full series rewatch of West Wing right now.
Wow.
It's a 25-year-old show. I don't know what kind of dork that makes me, and I'll wear that badge proudly, but it's my comfort show that you go back and you're like, oh, my favorite characters.
That used to be House for me.
It's a great show, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe you answered my second question. How do you like to unwind after a busy day?
Most days it's with a glass of wine, probably.
Yeah.
And just silence, like quiet.
No music?
No, like no noise.
Full silence.
Yeah, just like...
And a
warm
view?
Cozy, like,
are you next to a fireplace or you're looking out a window?
With a fuzzy blanket.
Fuzzy blankets really transform anything into an unwind moment. Almost brought one to the movie theater this weekend and was glad I didn't because they recline now.
They do.
You're just, it's like
a, gonna take a nap.
A really expensive nap. Right. That's exactly right. So then what's a surprising skill or talent that you have outside of things you bring to work?
I mean, I guess it's my sniper comment. I didn't know.
Pam,
I didn't know.
Pam has
about
a nickname
me.
On our podcast now, the sniper, because she'll sit quietly for like 5-6 minutes and then just get you.
And always hit your target?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, she's 100%.
That's an incredible skill. That's accuracy.
Be careful, though.
And consistency. Did you bring your sniper to this podcast today?
I mean, maybe. We'll see. I wait for a great opportunity. Then I kind of just...
Yeah.
The patience to wait and not manufacture something, I think, is actually a huge skill that I wish more people would practice.
Yeah, I mean, I've learned that patience with a lot of people I've dealt with in my life over time. So I've honed that skill in pretty good.
It's a real skill.
You need a lot of patience for some people. So, yeah.
And it's not just about holding your tongue. It's about holding your tongue for the right moment.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And because then when you say it, you're like, oh, okay. Either she has a point or it was really funny or whatever the
love that
comment.
I've witnessed a couple of those. It's an MO, though, with high consistency and accuracy. Yeah.
She went toe-to-toe with a comedian today.
I can see that. Yeah. I can see that. That's incredible.
I wouldn't be able to be... I'm not built to be a comedian, though. Like, they talk about all these terrible shows they've had. That was one of the segments, they talked about one of the worst, you know, shows that he had. And I'm like, nope.
Bad shows happen. And, like, do you have a contract where you can just leave? Like, if it's just going bad and you're in the middle of your set and you just be like,
can my 10-minute set now be 3 minutes? Yeah. Like, that'd be great.
Is that a thing?
I think, I don't think it's a thing, but I think it depends on how much money is involved.
Yeah.
Because regardless of how bad the show is, if you covered the agreed amount of time, you get paid in full. That might have...
So this was just going to stick it out.
This was a private party he was talking about, so he's probably making pretty decent money.
Yeah.
And yeah, it didn't go well, but he did the full amount of time.
I would have a hard time with that.
Like, I know how I am. My version of this, I facilitate. I've been a paid facilitator for years. And there's a moment when you're in a room full of people and everybody, like, that moment usually comes after a carb-heavy lunch on the third hour of a retreat, right? And everybody's eyes go straight deadpan, like just dead eyes across the
glazed
room. And you can sit for a second and say, okay, I'm comfortable sitting in uncomfortable silence, so we're going to give you a minute to think about your response and participate. That's my first, like, shots fired. And then the second or third one, I just, like, guys, this isn't going to work if you don't lean in a little. Do you need some movement? Or so I know that I wouldn't be able to sit there on the stage for very long before I was like, I'm up. That's enough. This one I'm super excited about because I have seen you juggle so many different things. And it's not like each of your projects/brands, right, don't have multifacets within them, but then you are juggling across them as well, and life. So what's your go-to productivity hack when you're starting to feel overwhelmed? What, like, gets you back into your space?
I feel like I strive when I have multiple things going on anyway, but I do tend to prioritizing in lists. I write my lists and then I kind of make sure.
Paper, pen, colored pens?
Oh, yeah,
apps,
paper and
digital
pen. No apps. No. I mean, if I'm out and I don't have paper and pens, my notes on my phone. But
yeah,
when I'm sitting at my desk and I just have, you should see my desk.
Is it individual,
like,
post-it notes or do you have like a master list you add
no,
to?
No, I have a master list. Yeah. My individual post-it notes on my monitor help remind me of different things that I can't forget about later on. And they're a constant reminder. I look at them every day and be like, oh yeah. And
that thing.
Go back to it. But yeah, probably that. And it's no surprise, I love deadlines. Like, there's nothing like a deadline and I get my best work
Somebody
done.
Somebody produces magazines who lives for deadlines? That's so strange.
Best work is done at the tail end of the deadline. I'm like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
If it's too early, like, I don't get creative. I can't focus. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to the last minute, I'm like, whoosh, 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 whoosh.
You pull from a different well of energy.
Yeah, things are happening. Yeah.
I love that.
I don't know how that happens, but it happens.
So here's my question. Do you add things to your list that you've already done just so that you can cross it off and reflect on how you have accomplished?
Absolutely not. No. I do
That's
not
my
add
favorite.
Anything to my I don't I literally try not to I like to be very efficient. That's one thing too. Like, if I have to go run errands, like, I'm gonna map it out.
Yeah, and take the right turns.
Yes.
That's the trick.
I need to go to certain places first and end in a very, you know, particular way to make sure it's as efficient as possible. So in my list, I'm not writing anything down that I don't need to. Same thing.
And I just want to say, I think we're 5 for 5 now in guests that are highly productive and highly efficient and highly successful in writing lists.
Yeah, physical lists. Yeah. It's the physical list specifically.
And everything has to go on my calendar, too.
That. If it's not in my calendar,
it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. I didn't say yes, and it's not going to happen. Yeah. And the way people make appointments in multiple places, this is going to sound so whiny. Listen, I'm sorry. Let me just say that out loud. This is going to sound super whiny.
She's apologizing in advance.
I am, because like I know that our lifestyle, our workflow, not average, not typical. Like if you talk to your family, you know, they might have one or two meetings. I know that that's not how I live. And it's okay. If you schedule with me by text or by Facebook Messenger, if I don't email it to myself immediately from the other platform so that it actually gets to my... That's where I fall apart.
Yeah.
Every single time. And we have a really wonderful assistant who helps with scheduling here. And she's always like, Shanna, you trying to schedule yourself again, but like not. I'm like, I did it. It's me. It's my own fault. I know my own downfalls. We are. I'm a list person too. I don't know if that makes it 6 for 6, but I think there's, do you use lists?
I don't. That's why I'm a hot mess.
I was like, what can we take away from that? That's hilarious to me. I feel like I know Pam a little bit better. I really wanted her to be able to sing as her secret skill. Can I just say that out loud?
I wish. If I could have any talent, that's what I would choose.
Really?
I wish I could be able to sing.
Sing or musical instrument. Either. I just want to make music. And if God's like, we've tried it and your voice isn't going to cut it, sister, that's fine. Can I just play an instrument? Well,
have you ever tried?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh. Yes, ma'am. That's my little known fact. Yeah.
All right.
Yes. I lettered in varsity in band.
Nice.
And I played the Xerox because I tried so many instruments that they finally were like, that's a copier mark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was in charge of the sheet music.
I didn't know.
Because they finally were like, stop it with the trying.
I didn't know if it was also an instrument.
No, not even like the triangle.
So I did percussion. I did steel drums. I did clarinet. I did tuba. I did trombone. I did trumpet. Clarinet stuck the longest out of all of them.
I played flute, I think, in like 6th or 7th grade.
Yeah. I wasn't really good with stringed instruments. That never worked out for me.
I don't have the patience. I don't have the patience to sit in a room by myself and practice something like that.
Yeah, well, and you always sound bad at the beginning. So it's not an incentive to keep. I mean, maybe with people with a good mindset, it's an incentive to keep practicing. That's the whole point. But for me, I'm like, see, doesn't work. I tried.
Yeah.
Three hours in and I haven't mastered the clarinet. I'm done. I'm done with this. No, it's so real. I managed to pull up a quote from you.
Oh, boy.
And this is how we're digging in, because so much of this resonated with me. And I would say to so many themes in so many of the interviews that we're doing. So in 2018, you were honored as an Uplift LA Finest Under 40 honoree, to be very honest. Uplift LA is a program of our chamber that honors rising professionals under 40. And at the time that you were honored, it was still under our previous name, which was 40 Under 40. And when you were being nominated and talking to us, I guess, technically at the time, you were reflecting on your vision for the community, and you said, "We're beginning to overcome negative impressions with the establishment of new and thriving businesses, adding economic value and fostering positive experiences for both citizens and visitors. I believe this is the best path to changing long-held negative views." Something you clearly wake up every day and continue to endeavor to do. So it's almost 8 years later from 2018. Sorry to put a number on it.
We went from 6 to 7 to now we're 8.
No, it's 8.
Well, right. 7 years?
We'll go with 7.
Yeah.
We'll meet you in the middle.
Math. Math, guys. How has the landscape changed since then, do you think?
I feel like people on the outside have a more positive view than internally.
Yeah.
People internally still seem to trash on.
Yeah.
You know, it's very frustrating. You know, I actually called someone out on social media the other day. It was probably like a month ago, but they had said something and said Dirty Lou. And I'm like, are we still saying that?
Yeah.
Like, are we? And then he apologized and he's like, you're right. I just said it to kind of make it more amusing of a post. You know, it's supposed to be funny. And I'm like, yeah, but nobody else, like, nobody does that but us.
Yeah.
So why are we doing that? Like, just don't.
Yeah. Well, and for those of us working to highlight things that are already positive, to create more things that are positive, it doesn't feel funny.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And it did the opposite for me, that post, that what he was trying to achieve. So I was like, yeah, it's not funny. So
did you mention it in the thread or did you do a direct message?
Oh no, I mentioned it in the thread.
Ooh, shot sniper.
I ain't shy.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
Has your vision changed at all?
No. I think we're closer with all the housing being built and things like that. I think we're closer to becoming what I envisioned back in 2018 than we were then.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I'm excited for what's to come and how things are going to evolve around here, including us. Like,
talk more about that. Because, like, your vision's changed a little. I mean, maybe it's not. Did you envision Lydia Media in 2018? This extension, this umbrella of these two platforms you were familiar with and engaged in then, but...
Yeah, so, I mean, I worked heavily with The Digest and LA Metro. And Jim Marston, the previous owner, we had discussions about me taking over eventually. And then I got the opportunity in Texas and took that and...
Side quested, as my family members would call it.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so you went on a little side quest. Got you the tools you needed to continue on this particular endeavor.
Well, and I was about a year and a half or so in working with him. And it was just, it was kind of the same as when I started. So I was like, I don't really know like how long this is going to take. And it didn't feel like mine, you know?
Yeah.
So I took the opportunity in Texas. And plus, I wanted to experience something different anyway. And I'm so glad I did, because I learned so many things that I'm able to bring home, which, you know, I obviously know things that work in Dallas are not going to work in Lewiston, Auburn.
Not all of them anyway.
Versions of them.
Yeah.
You know, I worked for a very similar magazine down there that started in 1974, and it's highly reputable. A little bit different than what LA Metro Magazine is, but similar base. It's telling stories of what's happening, both with arts and culture and business and all those things. They also published things that went wrong. You know, they blew people up, like saying, you're not doing something right. Where I think we have enough publications that do that and enough avenues where people can be outed for things that they're not doing correctly or whatnot, that I don't want to be that. I want to put eyes on what we are doing right and the good things that are happening in our area. So.
I love hearing you talk about that, because I've always wondered if it was an intentional choice, if it was based on a specific experience or just values and a desire, because you've never done that.
Right.
There's opportunity to have done that. Right. And as you've noted, there are other venues where maybe that does or doesn't happen in those moments. You've always been, I think, really thoughtful, but I would, because of my values and I'm me and coming from me, take it for what it's worth. And maybe not everyone's me, and that's fine. But I would also say you've acted with integrity.
Thank you.
And that feels part of the brand value of Lydia Media and both publications underneath it. I would even say the podcast, right? Like, there's this criticism that I hear levied, not towards you or your work. I would say more often towards our work at the Chamber, but I would say mostly I hear it in a very global way around anyone who dare say anything nice about this region, right? Like anyone who is endeavoring to lift up the good or to promote the good is this whole like lipstick on a pig or, you know, don't sugarcoat things or don't. And I don't believe that's what you do. I think that you do an incredible job telling real stories of real people who live here. That's what this podcast is about. That's why we're talking to you, right?
Yeah.
And so I think you've always done that. And sometimes when one is doing a certain thing, you wonder if the thing that they're not doing is intentional or if they're just doing that thing well. And I've never seen you use your platforms for anything other than good. And there are people out there who would say, well, you know, exposing this person or this thing that went wrong is so that it goes better in the future, and they still put that under the umbrella. Right. And I've never seen you do that.
Right.
In a way I really respect.
And that I'm exactly, it is very intentional, because like I said, there are entities and people and other ways that things that are not going right will be showcased or highlighted, but not through us. It just, it's not what we're going to do. And the transition that I've been trying to do with LA Metro, where before I took it over, we did highlight, you know, businesses that were doing well and providing, you know, employees and products and services for our community. Well, now I want to highlight as well as that, but the people that have gone through different things or done different things that have made the community a little bit better, or help our readers do things in their life a little bit better, or provide more positive for their own living style, or
I love that.
Whatever.
How has that transition been going?
I mean, it's still a work in progress, but it's going really well, because it makes it a lot easier to find stories too.
Yeah.
You know, when you're only focused on businesses and the good and the services and products and whatever they provide, you kind of run out after a little while, or you're regurgitating different things. This way, we're never really going to run out. We're going to come up with different ways and avenues and people that are doing things kind of in their own way and showcasing that, because everybody's different. Different things are going to work for different people. I want to showcase that.
Do you ever, because Uncle Andy's Digest specifically, and then even LA Metro in their longer history, very business focused, very business community focused. We're a chamber. Spoiler alert, we also focus on businesses. And so, like, I come from a really similar place, and there's a lot of that makes sense to me. And I think one of the things that, like, when I talk to somebody in a different industry or, like, outside of my kind of chamber world, chamber business serving business sector bubble, right? And there's all kinds of other sectors out there that might interact with business or frequent a business, but even if they're running a business, there's a lot of times that those folks don't necessarily think of themselves as a business person, as an executive, right? And when I talk to people outside the kind of like business centric bubble, I often find that there's a perception that like they can appreciate the difference maybe between small businesses and corporations, but even when they're thinking about small businesses, they're thinking about business, right? Like it's an institution, it's a licensed entity. And even more so having been in this business-centric world and focusing on and serving the business community, I've been surprised, surprised to find from my like roots that businesses are people, particularly small businesses, and that their stories, the stories that you get to tell and that you get to focus on, sometimes might even come from some of your business connections. But that business owner has been volunteering for Special Olympics for 30 years or started their own little food shack for, you know, families that need it in their neighborhood. And all of a sudden it's become a whole backpack program. Like, I think people lose the connectedness of businesses are people.
Right.
They're like, they're a mom or a dad or a daughter or a sibling or, you know, the PTA chairperson or booster club. Like, one of the first things I was proud to do with my business was put it on the back of my son's jerseys and help support the team, right? And so I think people lose that, and I love the direction you're headed in, because I think it,
these individuals are the grease that make our community just keep on turning.
And never has that been more apparent to me than the last couple of years, like the ways in which you really get to see people step up in that way.
100%.
What's been one of your favorite stories to tell?
A couple come to mind almost right away. I wrote the story on Steve Roop, so that meant a lot to me. I knew how much he meant to the community, how much he did for the community.
Yeah.
And that was kind of our starter story to transitioning the magazine. The story wasn't about Roopers. It was about Steve Roop, what he did. You know, he went to see underprivileged kids play basketball and realized half these kids don't even have sneakers, and went out and bought 10 pairs of sneakers and brought them back. Like, things like that.
Yeah.
So that story meant a lot to me. One, because I wrote it. And two, because it was the start of a transition of what I wanted the magazine to be. And the other one is a story on Stacey Moore and how she found sobriety in an unconventional way. And she's kind of one of those people that is under the radar. Yeah. She's not a big business owner. Like, her husband owns a business, but she's not, you know, part of that. But I thought her story was so important to tell because, you know, I think there are other people that had the same issues as her, but they didn't want to go to AA. Yeah. They didn't want to go down those regular roads of finding sobriety, and they probably felt so alone. You know, she talked about going to, you know, kids' birthday parties and the whole, you know, it was more about the parents having a glass of wine and,
yeah,
and drinking in their corner while the kids were opening presents and playing games. And that I resonated with that. I'm like, that is, like, that's our culture.
Yeah.
And if you have a problem and you're looking to try and get away from that, how do you do it when, yeah, you know? So those two stories stand out for me that I really liked doing and having in our magazine, because that's what I want to bring to the table, is showing people, you know, that business owners aren't just business owners. Right. Like you said, they were doing much more for the community that many realized, but many did not. And then, you know, other members of the community that are going through maybe some of the same struggles that they are, but and don't know how, or that it's even happening to other people. So just highlighting that people aren't alone.
Well, and you don't get to write every story.
Oh, nor Steve Roop was the only story I've written since I've come back. And it probably will be, I don't know if I'll write another story, maybe, but.
Is that hard, or is that, sometimes my most important projects are the ones I give to my team, because it's, I do my part. My job is like resources and connecting and vision, but like execution, I have the most incredible team of people. And like at home, for example, if I want it done right, I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? Like, sure, you can fold the laundry because those towels will get unfolded and it doesn't matter that you did it right, it'll be undone. But if you're going to reorganize the spice cupboard, right, just back up. Let yeah, me take care of it.
Yeah, I'll do that for you.
But if it's something at work, right, and like if it's an event, I'm not going to plan an event.
Right.
Katie, our director, she's going to kill it and I'm going to mess it up. And so like, do you find being in your role within your own organizational structure, is it great to delegate something and be like, okay, I know the best writer for this particular story and for you not to touch it beyond that? Or do you ever like, it's your spice cabinet and you want to do that yourself?
No, I love to delegate all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, please do this. There were some things that I did want to take on myself, and then just things happened and I was like, I don't have the capacity to continue.
Reality happened.
Yeah.
You're already doing like three businesses.
Yeah. And So I hate to say it, but I have huge help from a girl that I connected with in Dallas when I worked down there, and she helps me lay out and design LA Metro. I would love to find someone that's as connected with me and how I like things yeah, done as she is. Like, I just give it to her and kind of tell her a little bit of what my vision is, and she almost nails it every time. I kind of fine tune it after I get it back, and it's just so easy. And then obviously we have great photographers and writers.
All right. So I've got one big last question before we do our closing stuff. And I thought about this a bit. Every aspect of Lydia Media and how you are as a person too, show up in this world is about lifting people up. It's about lifting up the positive. It's about highlighting the positive energy and the momentum in the region and making positive changes, which I have seen you be part of the making changes and not just telling the story of the positive.
Thanks.
I don't think you get enough credit for that. And so this is me giving you that credit.
I honestly am always so, I don't want to say paranoid, but I'm always feeling like I don't do enough. Like when I'm home and not participating in some local event, I'm like, I should be there. I should do that.
You should be cloned, though. Like, because I understand that feeling. I just...
Yeah, I wish I could be everywhere.
Yeah.
So...
You can't be.
That's tough.
In case you need somebody else
to say that.
That
is the tough part, right?
Yeah,
I feel like you must feel the same way.
I took my family to our tree lighting ceremony and our little downtown festival this weekend, and I would have loved to have gone to the next one on the next day and literally just couldn't do it and felt guilty all Sunday.
Yeah,
and
it's tough.
And that's just, you know, two of the five communities that have tree lightings that I feel like I should be going. And I love a good tree lighting, so please don't get me wrong. But no, I do. I feel that. I appreciate all of your efforts deeply, and I empathize a lot because there is so much of what I see you do for work, what you strive to do, your approach, and the values that you lead through in doing your work are all things that I really respect, really admire, and I would say endeavor to embody in my own work and personal. I have a lot of respect for it. And I know that our efforts, and it kind of harkens back to even your comment from 2018, like we wake up and we do that every single day in different ways with different people. Yeah. But, you know, it's, so here's something that I'm curious about. What do you think others could do that would help your efforts be realized sooner? When that vision that you laid out in 2018, and when you wake up every day and put your shoulder into the grindstone on all of those efforts, is there like, you know what would really, really make that pay off is if this other thing outside could also be happening. If it could be, if the energy could be matched here or there, like, and this isn't, I'm not trying to like get you to call any one thing specifically right. out, but like, because I spend time thinking about this. What could others do that could help your vision be realized sooner?
I mean, a few things come to mind, I guess. I think people understanding that others have things going on underlying that they're unaware of.
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing that people don't take into account enough.
Yeah.
But also, I want to say like groups, like boards or people that are looking to do something to help the community, right? Mm-hmm. Be efficient and effective and stop just talking in circles.
Preach, mama, preach.
I feel like that happens a lot and that's very frustrating. Mm-hmm. Like there's a need or there's a want and there's these things but I think there's a lot of, you know, spinning in circles, and I'm not sure why that is. I don't want to be a part of an economical board or development mm-hmm. or anything like that. I have enough on my plate.
Yeah.
But I don't think I could handle it seeing the circle of just round and round. I would have a really hard time. Like, let's just pick something and we'll either, you know, maneuver it however it needs to be maneuvered if it's not right the first time, which it won't be right the first time. Just, you know, pick the best of what we think might be the best idea.
And tweak it.
And tweak it as we go, right? Because, I mean, I'm doing that with Lydia Media. Like, I just jumped on it. Mark with the podcast, he's like, you can talk me out of it, but what about daily? I'm like, let's go. Let's
just zero hesitation. Love that. And we're all better for it. So thank you for the idea and your rapid yes. Appreciate that.
I think we started off as a monthly.
Did you really?
Then,
was it one
weekly.
Episode where you aimed it up?
I stand corrected. It was weekly. And then I got to thinking one night and I just sent her and Sarah an email saying, hey, talk me out of this.
Yeah.
Let's do it daily. Let's make it.
And there was no talk.
There was no talk.
There was no talking out of. We're better because of that.
Like I said, the only reason I agreed to that, I'm like, Mark, I just have to show up, right?
Yeah, like, right.
Actually, we didn't even have that conversation. Mark realized it really quickly.
But then you were able to, like, remember that thing you asked me to talk you out of, and I didn't? This is the price you pay.
Yeah. Have a good show.
Yeah. Enjoy. I'm going to grab my coffee and be in a minute.
But yeah, those are, I think, the two big things that I would like to see more of, you know, like take initiative, get something started and tweak it from there. And then, you know, not be so like, understand that people have things going on underlying that, that you may not be aware of. And I mean, I think that's just a general rule, not, but I think that would make people realize too, if people aren't so quick to say things about what's going on in our community, like understand there's something underlying happening and be more compassionate.
That is articulating much better a frustration that I've had a hard time putting words to for a really long time. I serve on the planning board in my community. And so I know in very like tangible 87-page packet of, like, what's happening, right? Yeah. Like, where there's already financing in place and what that change is going to look like or what's going to go up on that empty lot or replace that, you know, ugly building that people don't like. And I also know because of how long it takes to put a financing package together, to procure the materials, to contract and do all the signing, and then right. and then to break ground, work with 5-6 different trades, all the way through the point where I show up with a ribbon and some scissors and like, "Well, we did a thing," right? Like that's a 3-year runway,
yeah, right?
For real development, for yeah. big, right? Like
right.
small development, mid-size individual development, you can do a quicker turnaround, but it's still
right.
8 to 12 months to get licensing. You only had to renovate like the easiest, shortest one
yeah.
from the idea to actually opening the doors. You're looking at a year endeavor,
right?
Right, and I think we do a couple of things poorly around here. One, we don't have a clearinghouse of information. I try to do that with the chamber and our platform, but people often don't realize, like you started by talking about housing. We have thousands of units in the housing pipeline just between Auburn and Lewiston.
Right.
And because that isn't already a 5-story high rise or it isn't already, you know, open with the website showing you all of the beautiful interiors and now accepting applications, it must not be true. Right? Like that's the mental model that prevails. Yeah. And I can't help but think of it from an investor's perspective. So if you're going to lay down some money on any endeavor, any business project, yeah. if you're going to throw down some cash and you do your homework, is this going to be a good investment or should I buy that stock? How have they been in the past? Whatever it is that you might spend your money investing in, maybe it's, I don't know, purchasing a generational family camp, right? Like
right.
you're going to, can I develop on that land? Is there more land for sale? Are they about to, like, you're going to look, how's the taxes been? Has it raised every year in this town? You're going to look at
yeah.
it. And you know, you started by talking about seeing people who aren't from here, who have moved here, chosen to live here, visit here, do business here, talk much more positively about our region than folks who are from here. And I would say some of my favorite conversations like that I get to have are with investors
yeah.
who are like, they'll say things like, oh, the Lewiston-Auburn region has so much promise, the inventory of XYZ, right? Like whether it's commercial square footage or mm-hmm. light industrial or, you know, the extent, my favorite, the extent to which water and sewer has been added, right? Like that's a pretty big thing though. If you've ever had to put in your own water yeah. and sewer, investors from outside will look at all of those advantages
yeah.
and they will take the time to look at old planning board packets and what has been approved and permitted in a community and see the trends. And investors are choosing this community because they see that. But so
right.
many people don't see what's on the
right.
on the surface. They just hear about the most recent business closing or they're looking
mm-hmm.
for the now open sign in the window and with no understanding of
right.
how much went into that sign going up in the window.
They're so easy to critique it right
yeah.
off the bat.
Yeah. yeah.
So many things.
You articulated yeah. that very nicely.
Oh, well, thanks.
Because that is a frustration point of mine that I share with you. I love those. Let's make Pam's world our world, Mark.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right.
Can we hurry up and make that magic wand time?
Magic?
I want your vision. Yeah. I mean, it's really just hard work. And it's happening. There's no wand. I can't wave it for you. You're doing it all on your own. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, there's no wand. I've looked.
It's not there. It's not there. No, that couldn't be more right.
Our closing segment is Looking Back, Leading Forward, a reflective closing where we invite our guests to share advice or insights they would give to their younger self or to those with big ambitions in business or community leadership.
All right. So, Pam, help us end our episode with a little bit of reflection. Given everything that we've talked today about, if you could offer advice to your younger self, what would it be?
Professionally, I feel like I've made good decisions. Personally, reflect, if I could tell myself, a younger self, money management.
Huge.
You know, like I learned some hard lessons, more like late 20s probably,
mm-hmm.
Maybe into my early 30s. But yeah, it's just, it's tough, you know, when you're a single parent
yeah.
and you have a home to upkeep and
I do know.
All the things. Money management's hard, but there were ways I could have done better. That and all the ways I thought about wanting to invest and didn't.
Yeah.
I knew they were good ideas. I just didn't know how to make them happen because I didn't have any money.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like, it was too much work.
Air quotes noted on that one.
Yeah, I didn't know how to go about it, you know, so I think I would have told my younger self, figure it out. Figure out how to work on those investments or make those investments happen that you're thinking about because they will be worth it. Yeah, I regret a lot of the ideas I had investment-wise that I didn't do. So that'd be the one.
Good advice.
Yeah.
Good advice.
Yeah.
It's a whole different world now too.
Yeah. Like 15 years from now, would I say the same thing back to, would I give myself the same advice? Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like the jump we've had from 10 years ago to now has just been
huge.
I mean, what they say, the price of new cars just from 1 year ago is up like $10,000.
Yeah.
Like, what?
I got all these kids coming of age, getting licenses, needing cars, and I can personally vouch. Like, I remember a used car used like $2,000. You could get a beater.
$5,000.
You could get a respectable used car, and you were what, $15,000, $18,000 for a new car. You are lucky if you can get a respectable used car with less than 40,000 miles on it for anywhere under 10,000. Like, you're not gonna find it.
No.
Yeah, that's through a relative.
Yeah, exactly. Well, right.
Yeah, the grandma can't drive anymore, too.
They're not trading it in. It's through the one relative who has no interest in trading it in. It's to be very specific. Yeah. No, I that's mean, exactly just, right.
So,
but good anyway, advice.
That would be my advice, yeah.
Because Lydia Media could be a whole mogul running all of northern New England if you had listened to who knows what advice or followed through with the idea when you were 24.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but I think, I mean, I'd have some things that I wish I'd had right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, or things would just be a little, I don't want to say easier, but
I would
have more peace of mind, retirement wise, things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, those types of things.
Retirement, huh? I'll be able to retire, but with like a part-time job. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It works for a lot in the retirement community. I'll fool myself into thinking it's for my health. Like, oh, I just work for my mental acuity. That's how I will get through the last 30 years of my life. Because you know we're going to live to like 110 by the time we're set to retire. That's the terrifying part. Yeah. I can't wait to see where you are 10 years from now. Truly.
Thanks. Yeah.
And where we are as a region because of the work that you're doing.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm excited.
Doing great stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything that we didn't cover, Mark?
I want to know, Pam, since you started Lydia Media, what are you most proud of?
You can say anything.
Would I be kissing your butt if I said the podcast?
No, you wouldn't.
Maybe, but you should say it anyway.
I would be pleasantly surprised.
I mean, I feel like that, I'm proud of that because I feel like that almost fell in my lap. Like, I took that opportunity when I saw it, and I'm glad that I did.
You can be proud of that.
I am proud of that, but I it's not something I went after, per se. But it definitely, when the opportunity presented itself, I was like, this is exactly what we need to segue into more than just print media, you know, in our social media and things like that, and our websites, you know, it was just that perfect opportunity. This might sound funny to people that don't know me. I'm proud for not giving up. Because trust
me. You should
be.
Yeah, you've had a couple curveballs. You've had a couple of curveballs.
Yeah.
The ones that brought you back from Dallas, the ones that have kept you here, bless your heart. You should be really proud of that.
Thanks, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's probably, you know, the obviously thoughts of like, ugh.
Yeah.
But then, like, I get over them and I go harder. I think more. I put more into it to make it what I think it can be. So, yeah, that would be.
Keep that up. Whew. Yeah, yeah. With less curveballs, though.
Need a couple more vacations mixed in.
That's my goal for you in 2025. I don't know if I'm going to have to plan it for you with you and take you, like, throw you in my trunk.
Perfect. Yeah, maybe. That might be. But, no, I have, well, one's not really a vacation, but
We want one that's like 100% undeniably.
Have one that's 100% dedicated vacation. And Kevin, my boyfriend, and I have very different ideas on what a vacation or a perfect vacation would be. Like, I want a beach and or just warmth, sun, water. Activities, those are fine, but I want to sit and hear the ocean and just not have to think about
anything.
Where he is definitely more like, let's plan this, let's plan that, let's go here, it's all like...
Let's visit the ruins.
Yeah, and fine, but we better have some time where we're doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah, umbrellas, little umbrellas in the drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Good, I hope that's what you get in 2025.
Well, I'll make it happen.
Yeah.
Deadlines come so fast.
You do a daily publication, a monthly publication, and a quarterly publication.
Daily, Shanna, like I said, I just show up. So that's otherwise
it wouldn't be happening. Also, what you should be maybe the most proud of on that list. That's what she really meant when she was talking about this. Yes. Like, that we pulled this off and all I have to do is show up. That's the part you're proud of. Yeah. I would be too.
That's not lost on me.
Well, then, Mark, you keep doing what you're doing too. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Guys, check out everything. Where would you direct people to start? Like, you have a number of brands and sites.
Things. LydiaMediaLLC.com will also bring you to LAMetroMagazine.com and UncleAndy's.com. So that's a great place to start. Yeah, and then
go check out all the stuff.
We have three Facebook pages, both Lydia Media, Uncle Andy's, and LA Metro Magazine. And we kind of connect the Lydia's Lunch Bunch to all of those.
I love
that. We've talked about adding another Facebook. We're like, oh my God.
No, yeah. Yeah, no. I really think you chose the right way on this one, guys. As somebody who has to manage a ridiculous amount of social media pages and brands, no. No, if you keep it simple.
Yeah. I mean, Uncle Andy's has almost 23,000 followers, so we're not messing with that one.
Yeah.
That one's staying put, so.
Yeah, good. Well, so then go check them out, follow.
Yeah.
And if you like today's podcast, if you want to make sure you get alerted the next time we put something up, smash the, like, no, I'm just kidding. Like, seriously, like it, tell your friends, subscribe. We'd love that.
Subscribe and listen.
Smash or not.
Yeah. Leave a comment.
My friend told me to tell you, listeners, to just tell us that you like burnt toast, if that's your jam. Like, the comment doesn't have to.
Yeah.
We'd love it if it would relate, but.
5-star review and a comment.
Yeah, we've got a couple of 5-star reviews.
We don't
out
ask
there.
For much.
Yeah.
Sharing's always good, too.
Yeah.
I love it when I see podcasts shared.
See, like, oh, that's a great one. We'll add that to the, I'll get better at this. Seriously, come back, listen often. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.